My name's Andrew Hunter. I'm the senior curator of the Art Gallery of Guelph, and I'm here in Ottawa today, and I am with
Catherine Tapani
and
Aviana McKenzie.
We're here because we're talking about a project that we're developing at the Art Gallery of Guelph that opens soon, that both of you are contributing to and have been really generous and offering some time today to talk about sealing and the issues of sealing and the impacts of international seal bans on Inuit communities. So we're bringing an exhibition together that features Kat's photography, documentation of a rally you guys were part of up here, works by Tanya Tagak, Alethea Nurkic-Burrell, Cuisine Van Heuslin. So today we actually thought we'd talk about two things. First, to hear you both maybe introduce yourselves a little bit more, and then tell me about the rally and what sort of inspired that and how that went. And then the third was to maybe hear you each talk about perspective on the issues that inspired the rally. So I'm happy to have whoever wants to go first. Just, you might have to reintroduce yourself, that's all.
Hello, my name is Catherine Tapani, and to begin, I am a 28-year-old Nunavut Tsimunixavut student. It's a unique 8-month college program where we focus on Inuit history, English, contemporary issues, Inuit government relations, and the Nunavut Land Claims Agreement.
Hi, my name is Aviana McKenzie. I am 18 years old, and I am from Rincon Inlet, Nunavut.
And you've been down, you were saying to me, you've been in Ottawa since last fall, so you came specifically to do the program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the program is great. Like, Kat introduced the program. It's an 8-month program. And I highly recommend it for other Nunavut youth to learn more about the culture, which isn't taught by elders, because it's
painful.
And, yeah. And what you don't learn from schools.
Yeah. How do you guys like Ottawa? I'll just slide to the middle.
Ottawa is a little impersonal. It's a little standoffish in a sense. But if you get to meet certain people within Ottawa, then it's not so bad overall.
Yeah.
Overall, you can feel the imperson. Like when I'm in Iqaluit with my Nana, I can walk down the street and someone will smile and wave and be like, "Hey, how are ya? How's it going?"
Yeah.
But here, you can't even like look people in the eye. Yeah.
I think it's partly that, like, the classic government town. Like, that you're encountering so many people here that are, they're here from somewhere else. They might only be here for a month. And yeah, so there is that caution to it all. But so let's talk about, why don't we just start by talking about the rally. So this was done March 28th, and the whole group on Parliament Hill. And so, yeah, give me the background.
To begin, I want to mention that Nunavut Tsimunixavut has created this rally for a little over a decade. Like, the coordinator, Morley Hansen, mentioned that Nunavut Tsimunixavut students, he couldn't even remember an exact date, but to know that it's been going on every single year, as a way to educate Canadians about Inuit and our way of life, and how certain policies and legislations have affected Inuit economies.
Was it usually done at that time of year, or how did you decide March 28th was the day to...
There was a meeting between the government and the EU government about the seal ban and what they should do and if they should implement it more. And we decided to do the rally 2 days after to show that we're still there and we're going to advocate for pro-sealing, because it's really important for us to be able to hunt seal.
Let's talk about that a bit more, and then we can come back to the nature of the rally itself. But talk about why it's so important.
In a sense, all circumpolar Indigenous peoples, especially the Inuit in the circumpolar world, have relied on seal since time immemorial for food, for clothing, for shelters, for tools. You name it, Inuit could probably do anything with a seal. But essentially, Indigenous peoples in general have a close relationship with the environment because of they live a sustainable life. it isn't about progress and capitalism and things that the Western world and industrialization has brought, but in a sense, sustainably harvesting seals has made Inuit be able to live this long or live in such a harsh climate.
I think, you know, a point that you make is that, you know, this is a tradition, but it's also continued, that Inuit are living in communities, you know, forced into communities. So the ability, any way that the communities are able to sustain any traditional practices should be embraced, not pushed away, right?
And with that being said, so we actually had this argument with an individual who lived in the South their whole life, and they're against pro-sealing, and his statement was that our culture should change to the modern days and within the market economy, and he refused to listen to what we had to say because right. He believed strongly that our culture should change its ways and that killing animals are bad either way if you need it or not. And that really shows how ignorant some people can be, especially if they don't realize the prices and the food insecurity we have in the North. And it's a known fact that people who have government jobs can't really afford much food, especially if they have to provide for the whole family of 7, 5, or even 3. There's like a lot of food insecurity from the ages 4 and older. And it's a known fact in the North. And we understand that it costs a lot to send up the food and ship the food up. But the issue is, if we can't hunt seals or hunt other animals, then the food insecurity will be higher than it is now, especially if we're still hunting.
For instance, my grandpa was... He was very adamant. The residential schools had started to take away most of his daughters, but he didn't want all my uncles to go to school. He wanted them to continue hunting. It's not just a way to keep the culture alive, but as Aviana has mentioned, it's a way that to get food. So my uncles still hunt. My oldest brother still hunts. It's a way to put food on the table. My Anana's almost just about an elder now, and she has issues. Like they bring her food to eat, and it's harder for the elders and anyone who's older or is not used to processed foods, which are very cancerous and full of chemicals and all in all just not good for your health. But seals are essentially a superfood. If you compare it alongside of like chicken, beef, or and you can eat it raw.
Yes, you can. Yes.
And so, like my Nana lives and thrives and survives off of what my family still hunts.
Yeah. And I think back to something that you had said about the price of foods. I think people who have never been to the North have no idea. What, you know, like that the last time I was up in Cape Dorset and, you know, the package of dried spaghetti that's always on sale at Save-On or whatever for 89 cents is $12.99 or worse or more. I mean, yeah.
Like, I'm so tired of buying a jug of milk that costs $12.
Yeah.
That lasts less than a week.
Yeah. But you said something, Kat, which I think is important too, which has to do with, you know, it's biology. It's like people in the North have lived in the North for a long time, and that's been the traditional food source. And so I mentioned Tim Pitsilak before and him talking about me being largely a vegetarian, but I would often, you know, when I go North, I'll eat things. And then he would always say that, well, you know, beluga whales they're like the eggplant of the North. And he would talk about all the nutrients and the things that you would get because you don't get, you've never had green leafy vegetables or whatever. So it's essential to human people's health in the North to continue to hunt,
and,
right?
I feel like your exhibit and showcasing pro-sealing and explaining how it impacts Inuit life. For example, that gentleman on Facebook who was in that really long-winded argument about why Inuit should not hunt seals, one of his statements was actually, slavery used to be a tradition, but now it's not anymore.
And that's interesting.
To compare Inuit sealing to slavery is just showcases the amount of ignorance that other fellow Canadians and non-Inuit Canadians have. It isn't the first time that someone has mentioned that you shouldn't kill an animal, but and it's not going to be the last. So yeah. I believe that everyone in this exhibit wants to showcase our side of the story, because without hearing it or knowing or educating yourself, ignorance will just continuously perpetuate.
Yeah.
One thing I notice a lot is how some people want the culture to stop sealing. And for what? Because you can notice that they only say something during this time of year, but they don't constantly say anything about it after the season is done. And the issue there is they say that they care for the seal and the seal pups, but they forget about it like 5 minutes after the season it is done, and they never speak about it again.
Mm-hmm. And like Alethea had mentioned, the seal is such an easy image to exploit.
Oh yeah.
It's so cute, and everyone is so concerned about the act of killing a cute, innocent animal. There's actually studies done on that. There's this one study where you place a baby next to a seal pup, and you're like, oh, which one would you want to, which one would you rather not kill? And of course the baby won, but then the survey continued on with like animal versus a grown adult. And for instance, most people would rather save the cute, I think it has to do with the innocence or the fact that they quote unquote are harmless or hopeless, or this whole romantic idea of...
Yeah, there's been interesting studies too around this, like looking at historically, you know, that there are certain kind of animals that get used often by the World Wildlife Fund, by different organizations. And so you'll get all sorts of attention towards the seal pup, even if that isn't actually historically how Inuit hunted seals, or they were out clubbing people, you know, like ice. And but then there are other animals and species, and you know, that are at grave risk. But like, so how do you rally people around plankton, right? Yeah. But it's probably like, you know, something that is so deeply at risk that the planet doesn't survive without. Which also brings us to something Alethea has talked about, and it's there in the film Angry Inuk. It's that if you are concerned about the environment, then you should be supportive of the communities and sealing among the Inuit, because if it doesn't continue, what are the other ways that these communities are meant to be sustained, right? And people will have to turn to things that aren't particularly good for the environment, which is ironically to be more immersed in the modern economy of destroying the planet, right?
What I find very interesting is that the topic of development in the circumpolar world is at a huge interest for all governments, whether it's Inuit in Canada, Greenland, US, the Scandinavian countries, or Russia. And the interesting fact about like introducing Inuit to a wage earning economy and having mines is such a prosperous idea for Inuit to have like a full-time stable job to afford these store-bought foods instead of culturally hunting for something that's actually an overabundance that's affecting the biodiversity because of the impact of legislation of not being able to hunt seals.
Yeah.
There's this ironic sense that people want to get extract resources that once they're gone forever. And the oil spills, if you even Google like oil spills in Russia, oil spills in anywhere where there's a mine in the circumpolar world, They're completely there's pictures of delicious seals being covered in oil. That's
right.
Not good anymore. But it's so backwards how a lot of people say that Inuit are backwards for being able to harvest, hunt, and live off the land, when their modern way of life is actually so completely backwards for the environment and the entire human population and climate change.
I have something to add on to that. So you know that the EU decided to help with the seal population going down. They just killed the seals completely. They didn't do anything with the meat, with the fur, they just threw it out. But PETA never said anything about that.
Right.
They never comment anything. But when it comes to an indigenous person killing a seal humanely, which is scientifically proven to kill them instantly with no pain, they have something to say. And they claim that they're not against us indigenous people, but they advocate against us.
Right, yeah. So can you talk about your earliest memories of, with seals? Like, you grew up in Rankin Inlet. Do you have, I mean, the reason I ask that is there's, you know, at the very beginning of Angry Inuk, Alethea talks about, you know, these early memories. And I'm just curious if you have any stories to share about family or...
Growing up in foster care, my oldest brother is almost 50, and my youngest sister is 5 years younger than me. There's a vast amount of siblings, and so like everyone older than me has those stories, but everyone younger than me didn't have that. I'm
okay.
Sure you're seeing it more.
Yeah, and I think that's important for people to hear, right? Right?
Yeah.
Because also when we talk about the comments that man made about why don't you you should give this up and become part of the market. You and generations have experienced that very thing.
Yeah.
And it was not a good thing, right? You know.
There's this term coined called the marginal man by someone in the, I forgot his name now.
We'll look it up.
It was it was basically about how certain indigenous people have a foot in the old world and a foot in the modern world, and they're caught in the middle. And the term marginal man started off, I think, with Jewish people in New York, but then other people
interesting.
Started using it for indigenous and being like, no wait, it can relate more to that. And then it kind of grew from there, and other authors have...
That's interesting,
and evolved and adapted.
Yeah. Do you have anything like that to share?
I don't know. As a kid, I never really paid attention whenever I was on the boat. But...
Just like a kid anywhere, in the back of the car, on a trip.
Yeah. Just realizing each stop we made, usually when we went boating, my dad and my adetachel, which is grandpa, they have two separate boats, and usually if it's deep enough, they would boat next to each other and stop because they'd see a seal and they'd try to shoot it. But as a kid, I didn't really pay attention to that until maybe last year when I finally tasted raw seal. And it was a big change for me because I'm not used to eating seal that much because I'm mainland.
Yeah.
And it was a big change. It was really good. And I felt more awake and refreshed from the other food. And I got hungry right away after eating a little bit of that.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about the rally and what that was like, and maybe describe a bit about what happened at the rally, and then how many people? I've seen photos, so there was quite a big crowd.
There was a gathering, maybe 3.
Right.
At the event, we had the MC briefly explain, introduce NS.
And then we had Lena and May to read the script explaining about the history and how the seal hunt is affecting us, and the seal hunt is how it affects us badly. And just during that rally, everyone was with passions, speaking for what we believe in and standing up against people.
So lots of you spoke.
Yeah. And we even got some of the leaders to go up, like Natan Olbed, Aluki Korha, and Johnny Isaluk to speak, and how they feel about the Sealback. And they do all, we all agree with the same point that it's important for our culture because it's part of that. And my personal opinion is, I was shocked that no activist groups came or even spoke to us against us. And they never had the guts to even come. No one had. Everyone stayed there and listened, and they didn't ask us or laugh at us for what we believe. And we were all using these beautiful sealskin coats, and it didn't provoke anyone at all.
Where did the it all come from? Because there was a great sort of fashion show and performance.
The government of Nunavut actually provides us with the garments, the sealskin jackets, and mounties.
Beautiful.
And students in at our school in the different sealskin garments and jackets. And the point of the Pro Sealskin Rally for NS is to educate other Canadians and non-Inuit Canadians about why certain policies and legislations and bans affects us, and essentially to have everyone understand that seals are very important, it intertwine into the culture and the root and identity and being of Inuit.
So I'm curious about all the different things that happened at this. So there was a performance, there was sort of a fashion show, but then there were also two young women throat singers that performed. So it was how long was the event?
Half hour, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And why do you think, it's interesting, in Alicia's film, she talks about there's a moment where they find out there's going to be this rally at Dundas Square in Toronto, so they, like from your school, gathers, and then nobody shows up, and then there's a constant narrative about an unwillingness of the people that are most critical of Inuit practice of refusing to engage. And what does that feel like when you feel the sense of there's a pretty powerful community with access to media and resources inflicting such damage on your community but won't engage? What does that feel like?
For me, seeing Ellen DeGeneres post about the seal ban, and it makes me wonder how much are they getting paid by PETA and all those animal welfare groups. Yeah, they're big celebrities and they make a lot of money, but of course they're going to go for more money and being paid, because I'm pretty sure they didn't do their research and they think that it's cute and that they get the information from the groups that don't know anything about the seal. And I find it funny how everyone thinks seals are cute, because they'll literally claw your face off.
Well, I think
they're not scared.
Yeah, there's that famous, infamous video of Paul McCartney and Linda lying on the ice, right? Whoever his partner was. And there is a moment in that where they think they're lying with a kitten, and the thing clearly expresses its like the fact that it's not happy. Yeah.
Also, we watched one video, I forgot what it was called, but it's a documentary, and they literally recorded the animal welfare groups. I think her name was Rebecca Saul. I don't remember her last name. But she literally paid someone who's not Indigenous to seal. She literally paid someone who's not Indigenous to skin up a seal alive just to record it.
Yeah.
And she claimed that it's literally what happened.
Yeah.
And there was also a seal that was injured. They pulled it out of the water, which would make it die longer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they just stood there taking photos of it.
Yeah.
So what I see it from, that's inhumane. Because if you see any Inuk hunting, they rather kill it instantly than let it suffer. We have many spiritual beliefs, especially with seals, that if you catch it, you have to give it water or snow so the spirit doesn't become thirsty. And that's the thing with us. We have so much spiritual beliefs that we still hold today. And many people don't take the opportunity or their time to learn about our culture.
Yeah.
And that affects us.
Yeah. You're going to tell a story about eating
fermented fat.
Okay, good.
So,
yes.
When I was 2, I was at my Ananachams grandma's, and I was eating igunap, which is rotten food, but it was mutta, which is beluga.
So it's more like fermented than rotten. You would consider it kind of a fermented. Yeah. It's intentional. Let's say that.
It's the intention to be rotten. And I was eating away the beluga, and she takes it away thinking I'm full. I cry for like 20 minutes straight till she gives it back, and I stop crying instantly and start eating. And so that's my story.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember one of the first times that I was up, the plane landed in Cape Dorset, and there was a young woman who got off. We were standing outside waiting to be picked up, and then we ended up in the same vehicle, like, because everybody knows each other. And then as soon as I got in, there was this smell. She had a box, and she was really happy because she was going to see her auntie. And then the driver said, oh, is that, what do you call it again?
Iguna?
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, and they start talking, and then they were joking about how I probably wouldn't like it. And that was the first time I'd encountered, and then it was offered later. And I tried, I couldn't do it. It was just...
It was acquired,
thank you so much, both of you. I know we've just only connected and met recently, means a great deal, and I'm really hoping that this is kind of the start of a conversation.
The following comments are from Par Tudley, a teenager from Cape Dorset in Nunavut. He talks about growing up in the north, the importance of sealing, and his memories of hunting and eating seal with his family.
I remember this one time when one of my family members caught a seal. And they brought it up to one of our relatives' place, and actually right outside their place. And then they started cutting it up. And just watching the process of that was amazing. Like cutting like right through the middle of the body, going slowly, cutting the skin off and making sure they don't take much fat off along with it. So it's easier to work on the skin. And just tasting the blood of that seal with fruits like apple and blueberries. We eat everything, so my favorite part of the seal is probably the brains. Just breaking the skull and eating it with your fingers just tastes amazing. And like you see kids, they eat the ribs a lot too, so... When they're eating the ribs, they're usually running around the house, and you see them with a rib in their super bloody hands and mouth, and like that's super cute to us because we know the kid is eating, and that would be terrifying here in Toronto for most people. Yeah, it's amazing, like